This is the Classic Rock and Metal Podcast, featuring all your favorite bands from the 70s and 80s. The old stuff, the new stuff, the news, interviews, everything you need for your hard rock and metal fix. Right here, right now.
Well, here we go again, and this month we're pulling out the big guns as we chat with heavy metal legend Rob Halford about his new album and tour with the Halford Band while Judas Priest takes a break, plus what it's like to still be part of the best gang in the world.
I mean, you see people on the streets, walking on the streets, you go, oh, there's a metalhead. That's obvious, because we have like a uniform, don't we? I always wear black, which I suppose could mean I work at a funeral parlour, but still.
Neil Buchanan, presenter of children's TV show Art Attack, returns to his first love, 80s rockers Marseille, who have a new album out and a few tales to tell from the old days.
The record company's gone bankrupt, this, that and the other. So he said, don't worry about it. He said, he'll be back on the road in 2 weeks' time. Two years later, we were still going through a legal battle with them. They impounded all our gear in the States. And in the end, we flew out on the very last ever Laker aeroplane to the States. And we nicked our guitars back. We actually broke into the place where they were impounded. Someone tipped us off. And we went in and we got them.
New Kids on the Block 80s revivalists Reckless Love get into the spirit when talking about their lineup changes.
Yeah, well, the drummers have changed. It's the Spinal Tap story.
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other two blew up.
Yeah. It was a bizarre gardening accident.
Which the drummer blew up.
All that, plus plenty of music, the news roundup, tour information, and new releases like this one from UFO's Best of a Decade compilation, which is out now through SPV. This is the classic Lights Out.
We'll be right back.
As I mentioned, the UFO Best of a Decade album is just out on the SPV label and available pretty much everywhere you'd care to look, starting at around £7 for the download. UFO have announced a handful of dates in December to wrap around their appearance at the Hard Rock Hell Shindig in Wales. Stay tuned for more news on that and more from UFO in the near future. Now, Rob Halford is already a metal legend, but even after 35 years in the business, he isn't taking it easy by any stretch. The day job with Judas Priest is taking a back seat while he tours the US with his old mucker from Birmingham, Ozzy Osbourne. There's a brilliant new album from Side Project Halford, released on his own Metal God record label, and what with the clothing line, four related websites, and gearing up for a world tour with Priest next year, he's busier than ever. He gave us a call to bring everybody up to speed, and I started by asking him what it was like being on the road with Ozzy again.
Yeah, it's been absolutely brilliant, especially to do it with Oz. You know, I mean, we've known each other forever. He's in top form right now. I mean, his voice is incredible. His stage shows are really strong and physical. He's got a great band that surrounds him. So I'm really chuffed for him, you know. I mean, he's back where he belongs in doing the great work that he does on stage. And on his record, his new record is brilliant as well. Couldn't wait to download that legally from iTunes, pay for it on my credit card. It's a great record, so it's good. Had a blast, you know. I mean, I was a little bit nervous because it was the first time that, I mean, we did a couple of warm-up dates. We did a show in San Francisco in a small theatre, a couple of thousand people. And then the next week, we were in front of 30,000 people at the Montreal Metal Fest. So it was a real test of fire, that was, for everybody. But it went really good. So by the time we did the Ozfest, we were in good shape, you know. And then just as we're kind of getting it all under the belt, it stopped because it was a pretty short Ozfest this year. But that's given us time to finish all the bits and bobs for Made of Metal and start talking about that and then get ready to do Japan, South America, and then the rest of Ozzy's tour in North America in November and December.
So what's the set list for these shows? A bit of everything?
Yeah, but like most bands do, you promote your new material, so it's a little bit of a mix, much like what we've been doing recently. Some Resurrection, some Crucible, some Fight, a couple of Priest songs. Mixing it up, you know, do about an hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes, something like that. and just bang it out and have a great time with our fans.
Yeah, I saw one of the warm-up shows. I think it was the first show you'd done with the guys for quite a while, actually, and it just looked like everybody was having a really good time.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, it's like we've always said, I mean, unless you're believing in what you're doing and having a good time doing it, then what's the point, you know? And that's how I've lived my life as a musician, primarily with the band that leads me in everything I do with Priest. We've always said in Priest, we'll keep doing it while we get those vibes going out, you know.
So the new album's out, Made of Metal. Got to say, loving it. It's really good. Classic Rob Halford, some really great tracks, all really heavy. Bang-up job, I think, is the general consensus.
Well, thank you. That's brilliant. I mean, I'm just very, very happy to hear you say that. I mean, you never know, do you? I mean, you put your heart and soul into something and then it's put out into the public arena, so to speak, and it's in the lap of the gods, as Freddie used to say. So I'm very happy to hear you say that and I appreciate it.
Now, I read somewhere that you'd said it was probably the most personal record that you'd made. Can you elaborate on that? Because there are some interesting themes on it.
Well, I think probably what I was trying to say there was, because, is it 10 or 11 tracks that basically came out of my own head? I think that just because that came from me as a writer, as a songwriter, that's just a personal expression, just to be able to put the songs together one by one. That was just a very good feeling, you know. I think like you always get when you write a song, it's just the best feeling in the world. But more so in the messages. I mean, it's all over the place, isn't it? Because you start off with a song that's a little bit about boxing and ultimate fighting. I use that as a metaphor because I've always been an optimistic guy. I've always been a believer that you can get over the difficulties in life. And I watch boxing and I watch the ultimate fighting and I see, you know, all the strength and the passion and the power. And that's what metal's about to me. It always has been. He's king of the world. Of his game, he only falls back to take perfect aim. He turns day to night with all that he has, a signature blow turns yours into glass. And then you've got the other end of it where I'm just being very playful and I write a song about bullfighting, you know. I think I'd just about get away without that, without egg on my face, because it's a fun story, you know, and I've done that for years with Priest, whether it's the Ripper or the Painkiller or the Sentinel. I love writing those lyrics that put like a little movie in your head. And then you get a really strong, intense song, which is about me being, you know, off the booze and drugs for 25 years next year, and that's about as personal as I've been in a long time. 25 years. You know, and again, the messages on some of the other tracks, like I Know We Stand a Chance or Thunder and Lightning, you know, like There's No Tomorrow, they've all got that just bit of a personal take on things that motivate me in life.
So obviously Priest is still doing things, you've got lots of other things going on. What does having another band do for you?
It just keeps the metal flowing. I can't sit still. I just can't sit still. I have to keep doing something. And so really the lads that play in the Halford band, Metal Mike and Roy Z and Mike D on bass and Bobby on drums, they just keep it all together. They just keep it all flowing, and I think they do a brilliant job. I mean, they're American metal musicians, you know, first and foremost. So it's their take on heavy metal that we invented, you know, back in Brummel those years ago. And they do a brilliant job. I mean, I'm not the taskmaster by any sense of the word, but they know what I'm trying to do, and they believe in it, and they support it, and they make it all happen.
I suppose it must be a little bit odd to be working with musicians who were probably influenced by Priest when they were growing up and learning to play.
Yeah, it is. It's great because, again, I'm working with musicians that are as real as I am, you know, and it's their interpretation. They all have a very distinctive style and character in their performance. Each of the players, Bobby plays the drums in his own special style. time for the other lads, you know, and that's important, that sense of identity. I mean, I know I'm the voice is there, you know, the voice will always be recognised as that's Rob, the singer for Judas Priest, and that's inescapable, and I don't want to escape from that, because that's who I am. But because it's a voice, it's probably a little bit trickier to do these kinds of things if I was maybe a drummer or a guitar player. But I don't let that stop me, you know. I've still got this need and urgency as a musician, first and foremost, as a musician, just to keep writing and making metal music.
And we touched on all the things that you're doing. Obviously, the Priest has got stuff happening. You've got the new album from Halford, the band. You've got the Metal God label. And you've got the Metal God clothing line. You've got the four websites that came up. I mean, it seems like an awful lot to be doing. But is that a mixture of your experience in how to get it done and also just surrounding yourself with good people to get it done?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Very simple. I mean, it might look complicated, but it's not if you've got everything in place. And it's a thinking process as well, the websites and the label and everything. There's many, many discussions that go on before you proceed. And sometimes you fall over and, you know, and so you get up and fix it. So, yeah, it's just an accumulation. It's like anything you do as a professional, no matter what you do in life. You sometimes learn by your mistakes, and then you just want to keep doing the best that you can. So it should look good, because there's been a lot of time and effort put into it.
Now, it's kind of funny. You should have a clothing line out, the Metal God Apparel Ranger T-shirts for people to wear, because some people won't know. Some people have just forgotten that it was because of you that we were all wearing denim and leather and studded wristbands in the first place, wasn't it? Because that was just what you wore. And, of course, Priest being one of the first metal bands, that was that kind of became the uniform, didn't it?
Yeah, and again, just to reflect on that, again, I'm famous for being this lead singer in Judas Priest that wears all of these different crazy outfits, and that was just a natural idea to kind of extend into that. And it's simple. It's only T-shirts. I don't know whether we'll go any further than that. I mean, there's no way we're going to do the full-on regalia. That would just be impossible to do. But I think you can catch the elements in the visuals, you know, like the things that we print on the shirts are kind of representative of metal to a certain extent.
Now, I mentioned about the websites that you have up for the various different things. Obviously, we go out as a podcast on the web, and you did a very cool thing a while ago. You chose a support slot, didn't you, from people who obviously wanted to be on the tour, and you chose it from their MySpace pages. Was that a good idea? Do you think you'd do it again?
Yes, if I had to. It was 160-something bands, and I went to every single one of their MySpace pages, and I quickly read the bios that I think are important, and I listened to a couple of the tunes that you can put up quite easily. So I went through every single one, and it did my head in. But it needed to be done, because I wasn't going to hand it over to somebody else, because that wouldn't have been honest, would it? I wanted to say that this is, you know, this came from me, and the lads that I picked, Cylinder, I think they did a really good job for the slot that they had.
Yeah, they did. They were absolutely great. And we do feature new bands on this show, but we also focus, obviously, on the 70s and 80s bands and what they're doing now. And you're proof that they're doing a lot. But I remember when I was listening to metal and rock in the early 80s, it was pretty hard to do. We had one magazine over here in the UK. There was no TV, hardly any radio for it. So basically, you had to buy it. You had to, or go and see the band. You had to invest time and money and that in it. And so we had this sort of underground club that was our thing. And that was great. It suited everybody. I think in the mid-80s then, it became more mainstream, and in the 90s it almost disappeared completely. And what we're finding now is that that club still exists. We're all just a bit older, but there's obviously a lot of new members as well because of some of the new bands coming through.
Yes, it is, and you've touched on it there, because it's at the heart of the matter, isn't it, really? It doesn't matter how you surround it with magazines or radio shows or internets or whatever. The heart of it is that special thing that you see at Download or when Ozzy just did the Ozfest there. It's just, I'm specifically talking about my home, the UK, but that's worldwide, you know, and the real essence of it, the reality of that feeling, that love of that heavy metal music that we love is there at a show. I mean, you see people on the streets, walking down the streets, you go, oh, there's a metalhead, that's obvious, because we have like a uniform, don't we? I always wear black, which I suppose could mean I work at a funeral parlour, but still. It is our identity, and I think that it's still quite unique in everything that we know about rock and roll. Metal is still very much a club because there are still a lot of people that knock it, aren't there? Still people knocking it, you know, don't get it, don't like it, hate it, whatever. And that just makes us more stronger in, you know, sticking together and doing like we've said in priest, keeping the faith, keeping the metal faith.
And not that you haven't got enough on already, but any chance of seeing Halford playing over in the UK?
Not this year, and I doubt next year, because next year is the year of the priest. Obviously, we're going to go back out on the road. All the dates are being put together now, I believe. So priest will be going out, and generally when we go out, it's at least 18 months, isn't it? Because we have to go everywhere, which is great. Still, all these years later, there are, you know, millions of priest fans all over the planet. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I ain't hanging up the mic lead just yet. I've got a lot of years in me, and so I can't wait to bring the Halford back to the home country, you know, and as soon as we know when that's going to happen, we'll be using the internet and letting you know.
Okay, well, look, I know you've had a million of these to do today, and you've probably got still more as well, but listen, thanks ever so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. It's great to find out what's going on, so thanks for taking the time.
Hey, it was a pleasure. It's always good to catch up on things and let everybody know what's going on right now.
Great stuff. Well, thanks again. All the best with the album and the tour, and we'll see you with Priest next year then.
Thanks very much, Oliver. Thank you. Cheers. All the best. I'll see you soon. See you, mate.
Great stuff. Well, here is the title track from that new album, Made of Metal, by Halford. Supersonic Silver Mind Machine, made of metal as he needs. Supersonic Silver Mind Machine, made of metal as a laser beam. He descends from the sky, and he's ready to die for the thrill. Fate will be called by his will. Super stuff and a great album, available from all the usual online outlets, including Play and Amazon. But your best bet is probably to go to halfordmusic.com, because you'll also find details there of the remastered Live in Anaheim and other Halford and Fight material. Got a video singles package from the Live in Anaheim release myself as a download for less than $5, so well worth checking that out. There's lots to see. Now, something we're going to start doing for new artists is to ask them to introduce themselves and their music, and you can make your own mind up whether you like the cut of their jib or not. First up to the plate, then, is Isabel Oversveen, or Issa for short, from Norway. She has a new album out through Frontiers called Signs of Angels. She's got a fantastic voice, and if you like your melodic hard rock verging on the pop side of the fence, then you're in for a real treat. Take it away, Issa.
Hi, this is Isabel from Norway, Oslo. I'm out with a new album, Signs of Angels. And I hope you're going to enjoy it. I love I'm Alive. I think that's a really good feeling. But also, we're going to make a video for the song Unbelievable. I think that's a really nice ballad as well. It's unbelievable. Also, I think Angels Crying is definitely a favorite, just because it's a lot of vocals. Actually, one of the songs I find very challenging is the song How Will I Know. This is like, it's so big of a range of a song. So I'm really excited to see a little bit what I'm going to do there. So I'm really hoping that we're going to do this tour. It's going to be October in UK. So we'll just have to see. And then you have to come and say hello to me.
You can count on it. This is the single, it's called I'm Alive.
I'm gonna
in our first show, we interviewed Sean Kirkpatrick from Bronze, whose band imploded after their stadium tour of the US and subsequent collapse of the record company. And it turns out this wasn't a completely unique situation back in the 80s. Enter Neil Buchanan, creator of children's TV show Art Attack, but originally guitarist with new wave of British heavy metal founder members Marseille. Now back with a new album, headline UK tour, and ideas of greatness once more.
That which you're outlining is actually exactly what happened to us. I mean, we were flying high. We were actually the very first of the new wave of British heavy metal bands to actually go out to the States. We were about a week before Def Leppard, they went over there. They toured the West Coast, we toured the East Coast. And everything was flying high. I mean, we'd supported in the UK just about every band under the sun. And we were about to go out on a headline tour here ourselves. But our record company and management company said, look, we really need to get you over to the States. They're clamoring for you. The record's out there. It's, you know, people are hearing it and saying, when can we see this band? So off we went. We were over the States for a while. And when we actually came back, I was met at the airport by our manager who said, actually, I've gone bankrupt. The record company's gone bankrupt, this, that, and the other. So he said, don't worry about it. He said, you'll be back on the road in 2 weeks' time. 2 years later, we were still going through a legal battle with them. They impounded all our gear in the States. And in the end, we flew out on the very last ever Laker aeroplane to the States. And we nicked our guitars back. We actually broke into the place where they were impounded. Someone tipped us off. And we went in and we got them. But it was grim. It was grim. I mean, that 2 years was the most lonely time of my life. And of course, because we had no gear, the band was essentially wiped out. Andy decided he was going to stay in the States. He fell in love with a groupie, and he married her, silly bugger, and she left with the next band that came into town, unfortunately. So he was stuffed. He was out there, you know. You'll have to get him on that at some point because he'll tell you that story. It's hilarious. It includes him throwing himself out of an aeroplane to commit suicide and also buying a shotgun to shoot up her new boyfriend's car. It's a great story. It was just time to, it was time to stop. It was time, you know, we had 2 years of legal battle. We had all these ups and downs. Andy left the band and Andy was my mate. It was our dream as kids. We used to, you know, when we were 10, we used to sit in our bedrooms there and fantasize about what would be one day. I sort of left and I was very, very fortunate because I got into telly.
Well, yeah, but how did that happen? How did you actually get into TV in the first place?
I replied to an advert that was in the back of the Melody Maker, which was like the enemy of the day, you know? And I applied to an advert that said all sorts of entertainers required for a Saturday morning show. Musicians, actors, all sorts, you know? And I thought, well, I'm a musician. Anyway, I auditioned for it, and I got it, actually, and it was a thing called Number 73. And it was crazy. It was a great show. We had all the bands in there. We had Gary Glitter, Elton John, Gary Moore. We even had Iggy Pop humping a teddy bear when he was playing his set on the show, you know, and it was just wild times. But I had to hide my guitars. I had to put them up in the attic, and they stayed in the attic for 10 years, actually. My guitars stayed there because rock was in my veins, and the only way to get rid of it was to say no, you know. And even people had come into the show. Whitesnake came in at the time, and they said to me, Neil, do you want to interview Whitesnake? I said, no, I don't. I really don't. Because I'd toured with Coverdale, you know. And I just had to go and hide. I mean, it was painful. And yet I was being terribly, terribly successful on television. I mean, it's well documented everywhere. Art Attack went all over the world. I ran it as a business, and it just went through the roof. We won BAFTAs. We ended up winning 38 awards worldwide. And so I was, you know, to say I was fortunate, I was a really fortunate man, you know, that my first love, which was rock and roll, I'd failed at. And yet there was this thing that I was doing now as a sort of second best. And it was going through the roof. And that was a really weird feeling, you know.
So why stop? I mean, I heard you had a eureka moment, a moment of clarity.
I really was in my studio one day, and I was coming up with more ideas for the show. And you know what? I sat there and I suddenly, just out of the blue, I went, that's it, I'm done. I've said what I want to say. I don't ever want to repeat myself. Stop now. I'd drawn enough dinosaurs, dogs, cats, whales, sharks, footballers, ballerinas, horses, etc. And I thought, right, that's it, job done. I'd done 500 shows, I stopped it. And I phoned the lads up and I said, do you fancy getting the band back together again?
Well, yeah, and obviously we're talking to a lot of bands who are coming back after a while away, and of course they're trying to touch base with their old fan base to get them coming back to see them. But of course, you've got the edge because you're going to have a complete army of new people who'll come and see it because it's you.
It's crazy, isn't it? Actually, Oliver, you have just actually given them the name. It is going to be the Art Attack Army because the guys do turn up. I mean, one night we turned up to a gig and it was chock-a-block, and we said to the promoter, why is this chock-a-block? And he said, look at the poster. And I looked at the poster and it said, Neil Buchanan from Art Attack with his band Marseille. And the audience, instead of being one or two of the older guys at the back, the Heritage Rockers, with the leather jackets and their pints, they were still there, which is fantastic. But suddenly the room was full of young people, you know. We've hit the university kids big time, and they're coming in the flocks and they're having a ball. Some of them are turning up with red sweatshirts that they've made themselves with Art Attack on. And anyone that comes like that, we get them up on stage for one of the songs for a sing-along, you know.
Well, let's talk a bit about the album then. Obviously, it's called Unfinished Business, pretty self-explanatory, but there's other tracks on there. I Believe, Rock Radio, Lost, Blown It. There's definitely some demons being exercised there. Did you, you know, was that a therapeutic process?
It's honest, Oliver. It's the album's honest, and it's what we're feeling. We're an honest band. We kick ass. There are no frills attached, but we do it with melody. Dave Ling from Classic Rock, he described us beautifully when he came to see us about 18 months ago. When he reviewed us, he said, Marseille are just muscle and melody. That moniker has stuck with us. But there is, you know, we've exercised a lot of Unfinished Business. You know, Unfinished Business itself, the track, it's obviously about us being stitched by the record company, but now we're back for Unfinished Business. I Believe, Cut the Crap, I Believe in Rock and Roll. Rock Radio is the obvious one about, you know, having a little pop at the radio stations that have basically cut rock out of their diets. So that's just our little way of saying, come on, guys, get it back on. There's an interesting one on there, Lost, which is it was a promoter that said it once, and it went down a storm. The band are now back after 20 years and 5 divorces. And Lost, it's about mine, to be honest with you. There's some honest stuff in there. And that's what the album is. It's an honest album, you know?
So you guys are out on tour now for pretty much all of October, a big chunk of October and some of November, with a date or two in December. What's it like packing a bag again and heading out on the road?
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I'm starting to buy tight jeans again. I'm starting to buy leather jackets again. And, you know, it's fantastic. And you put the gear back on, you strap the guitar on, and you just, it's never gone away.
So, I mean, you're off and running, but what's the goal for this lineup?
As I said when I was 18, sky's the limit. When we first got together again 18 months ago, I said, boys, let's try and get a set together by the end of the year. And we did. And then in our second year together, I said, boys, wouldn't it be lovely for us to make a little recording together and maybe just get back in the public eye again? And we did. And this year, the goal has been to release the album and to put Marseille back where they were in the UK when we left off. And we've done it. The goal for next year, I'd love to be on the big stages again, very big stages again. I'd love to be headlining. I'd love to be touring it. I'd love to be writing and recording another album. I'd like to have a dabble in the States, a dabble in Japan. And I'm serious about it. I'm really serious about it. If I wasn't, I'd be wearing my sweatshirt and my scruffy owl trainers. I'm serious about it. I've bought my leather jacket and I've got my jeans back. And they are well ripped, man, I will tell you.
Now, if you follow these things, the nominees have been announced for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Alice Cooper and Bon Jovi are in with a shout this year, while, as always, Kiss and Rush have been excluded. A list of bands' nightly earnings found its way onto the net this month with some interesting statistics. For example, Warrant earn $12,000 a night, Brett Michaels $64,000, REO Speedwagon $75,000, Hart and Buck Cherry doing very well with $100,000, and with a staggering $500,000 per show, my old favourites Kiss, worth every penny. Jason Bonham, who is currently part of the Black Country Communion supergroup, new album just out, has revealed that after he took part in the 2007 Led Zeppelin reunion, he and John Paul Jones and Jimmy Page spent some time writing new material with a view to hiring a new singer when Robert Plant didn't want to continue after the one show they did at the O2. Nothing ever came out, but he said it actually felt like a real band for a while. Aerosmith seemed to have lurched back towards a permanent vacation, if you've been keeping up with the recent spats back and forth there. Steven Tyler was confirmed as a judge on the American Idol show, something which he apparently neglected to mention to the rest of the band when they were discussing their plans for the next couple of years. He's waving it away as more of a marital tiff after 40 years together, but Joe Perry didn't seem to share the sentiment. I think he said it felt like he'd been hit over the head. Now, by far the best news this month was that Keanu Reeves says there's a chance of a new Bill and Ted movie being made. He and co-star Alex Winter apparently in talks with scriptwriters Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon. And Reeves said, "I'm still friends with Alex and we're talking to Chris and Ed to see if they can write something. I'd love to play the role and work with them again. We'll see what they can do." Here's an unusual one. Leonard Skinner, the Florida teacher who inspired the name Leonard Skinnard, has died at the age of 77. He was a gym teacher at the high school in Jacksonville, where two of his pupils were Leonard Skinnard founding members Gary Rossington and Bob Burns. Made a big impression on them. Rossington said, "Coach Skinner had such a profound impact on our youth that ultimately led us to naming the band, which you know as Leonard Skinnard, after him. Looking back, I cannot imagine it any other way. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family at this time." Now, Reckless Love are from Finland, but look and sound like they've just been airlifted from the hair metal-infested Sunset Strip circa 1986. This is all by design, but the surprising thing is they're not just after the old gits like us. They appeal to a whole new audience that have never even heard of Rat, Poison, Cinderella and the rest. They know exactly what they're doing, and after a sellout tour of the UK, they seem to be doing something right. So thought Universal, who snapped them up after what sounded like a good old-fashioned rock band bidding war.
After two rehearsals, we did a
showcase.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. And there were people from Warner Music Finland and Universal Music. And after that gig, they started to, battle who gets us.
Well, the evening actually ended in a contest, so we were racing between the tables. That was Universal Music Finland's table was in the end of the bar, and Warner's table
was in the other corner.
So free drinks in both of them.
Yeah. We were running,
Running
from one corner to the other, getting free drinks.
Yeah, apparently Universal had the most of them.
They had more to offer.
The record is sounding great. Was it everything you wanted it to be? Because
It's exactly what we wanted it to be. We found our cup of tea, and we had a clear vision what it should sound like.
Came out.
So in studio, we were just aiming for that one particular sound that we were looking for.
Right.
There was no trial and error for it.
Yeah.
Because we knew what we wanted. So.
Yeah, and the big thing is the producer was right on the map with us. He's the same age. He's quite a young dude. He was a big Wasp fan when he was a kid.
Okay.
So he was right there on the spot.
Well, we made it over retro because we used modern equipment, modern technology, and we made the most retro kind of sound that we could, and we actually even turned it up to 11. We made it even more retro than it could be.
Yeah.
So it's actually a new sound. We went for that 80s sound, but once we were there, we decided we want this, we want it to be more. So we used all those 80s stuff even more and more and more that nobody did in the 80s. So nowadays for people that listen to the album, they're like, "This is so 80s," and some people go there, "Yeah, but this is actually even, you know, this is so 80s that even the 80s weren't this 80s.
Yeah.
So it's actually 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Has the sound of the band changed over the years?
Yeah, totally.
We were all over the map. We were trying to do Motley Crue and Skid Row thing in the same time as we were, you know, doing Def Leppard kind of stuff.
Yeah, we've, you know...
So you can't combine those two. I mean, within the 80s hair metal, there's different genres.
You know, we started doing Guns N' Roses covers. The sound was more like that, you know, the rough, a little bit punky. Then came the Van Halen and the Def Leppard, and we just, you know, stuck to that.
Yeah. But most of our fans, they're, you know, underaged Motley.
Girls.
And yeah, well, mainly girls, probably. But I mean, they've brought their boyfriends with them, so, you know, for them, it's like Motley Who.
There's a whole new generation.
Yeah. Well, they probably know young Motley Crue because of the Dirt, but I mean...
Of course,
what,
but...
Rat? What? What's that? I mean, Cinderella?
Yeah, for the youngest listeners, this is
right.
Totally a new thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen kids that, by, you know, discovering us, go to the website, see our favorite bands, which we've listed there. Then they have to start the research and find the whole thing.
And also, when they have bought our records and they have went to home to listen to that, their parents, who were young when in the 80s, started to ask him, what's that? Yeah. That sounds very cool.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Nowadays, bands seem way too serious and, you know, can't imagine what's the reason why rock and roll and when it did, you know, when it became so serious.
Yeah, when did it go down the drain?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't see Elvis or Chuck Berry when they created the foundation of rock and roll. You didn't see them whining about how miserable they were.
We had a question from somebody on the website, actually. Yeah. I guess it was somebody who was in a band. They wanted some advice for bands who were trying to express their style instead of following the mainstream. Was it difficult to say, this is what we're going to do?
Actually, I mean, mainstream has always been like a swear word. It's something really bad. That our idols, like Def Leppard, Kiss, Motley Crue, Van Halen, they were mainstream. They were as popular as they can, you know, as a band can get. There's nothing wrong with being
popular.
They
wanted to be that.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the use? You know, why do bands want to stay small?
No,
because we want to be as big as we can be. Yeah. I mean, I want to be as mainstream
as possible.
Because for me, mainstream means big.
Yeah. Write good songs. That's the most important thing. If you have a good song, you know, you're guaranteed to get more fans, more listeners, guaranteed to get more popular. Eventually, you might become mainstream. There are certain principles that we try to follow in our songwriting system, or system, if you can call it a system. Keep it simple and stupid. I mean, you know, if it's stupid and simple enough, I mean, majority...
It will reach more listeners,
and more people. I mean, majority of world's people, they don't speak English as their first language. We don't. I mean, and you need to have simple stuff that people actually can relate to.
Yeah, right at the first listen.
Yeah, exactly. And
sing along on the second chorus. Yeah.
And that's what people want to do. It's partly because I think that rock and roll has been way too serious and way too, you know, kind of bleak for a while. So people are looking for that party attitude now. They're got a desperate need for a party now. And, you know, if you give them a party and you give them a simple way of getting it, why not taking it? If you got a choice, there is a band that you don't understand the name of the band even.
Yes.
That's such a difficult word that, I mean, you've never even heard before. It's got something to do with Latin or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's Reckless Love, and the song is called Beautiful Bomb.
Message for the fans.
We love you.
Keep buying our tickets. Keep us on the road. Let's all have a party.
Yeah,
that lasts
spread
forever.
The word.
If you hate
even
us.
Even if you hate us. Yeah. Spread the word.
Yeah. If you hate us, tell your friend.
Yeah. So they'll check us out too.
Has got it all for free. Got her blonde hair down to her apple bomb, and her body's made of TNT. I'm gonna give it a shot. I wanna see all that she's got.
must say that Reckless Love were one of the most impressive bands I've met. They have a very clear idea what they want to do and how to do it, and I do get the feeling that they could be around for quite some time. You should check them out at your earliest opportunity, which in the UK is Firefest in Nottingham at the end of October, Finland at the end of November, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they toured the whole world in 2011. In the meantime, get yourself a copy of the debut album and revel in retro for a while. Incidentally, talking about Spine Farm, the label they're on, they have a number of great bands on the roster, including fellow Finn Michael Munro, who has a new album in the works at the moment and we'll be talking to for our December show, and Jet Black, who we have an interview with next month. Okay, just time to tell you about some new releases for October. Trans-Siberian Orchestra have got Beethoven's Last Night out through BMG, and apparently there's going to be a couple of Black Sabbath reissues, interesting ones actually, Seventh Star and Eternal Idol, which had Glenn Hughes and Tony Martin, will be out through Sanctuary. And 80s Originals Tank have got their new album War Machine out this month. We've heard it and it's great, well worth checking out. Deep Purple have got two more albums being reissued on October the 25th through EMI. Come Taste the Band, which was of course the only studio album from the Mark IV lineup, originally out in 1975. It's been expanded and remixed, and also Deepest Purple, which was first out in 1980 and has got Hush and Soldier of Fortune plus a DVD with some TV clips. Finally, Zodiac Mind Warp. Yes, the Zodiac Mind Warp has got a new album, We Are Volsung, out through SPV. More on that another time. Well, that's all we have time for this month, but we'll be back on the first Monday in November with more of the same, so I'd be thrilled if you could join me then. Please get in touch if you have any comments or questions. It's very easy to do. You can go to classicrockpodcast.com and from there you can email or phone us and tell us what you think. We're especially interested in your opinion of the current format, whether it's too long, too short, needs more music, more chat, whatever. It's possible we'll split the shows and have more than one a month, so if you think that's a good idea or not, do please let us know. You can now follow us on Twitter as @RockPodcast, and our MySpace page had a revamp this month too, all courtesy of wilsondigital.co.uk, our erstwhile benefactors, and if they pull their finger out, we might even get a Facebook page sometime this year. You can find links to all that, plus the show notes for this podcast, which contains information and links to everything we talked about and played, as always, at classicrockpodcast.com. Have a good one. See you next time.